All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, Exodus chapter 20 is where we're going to start. We're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture, so I'm going to do my best to take a deep breath and breathe a little bit to give you time to get there. But as we did last week, and what we'll probably do in another week or two, is have more shorter challenges, and then we'll get back on a series once we get through with the Constitution and bylaws. But I want to talk a little bit about tonight something that we all have and sometimes gets us in trouble. Our tongue. Talk a little bit about the tongue. I'll give you a little bit of an intro, and we'll talk about these later. We could have a contentious tongue, we can have a critical tongue, or we can have a careless tongue. And we'll talk about a little bit just briefly tonight, but let's go ahead and start in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Two of the Ten Commandments deal with the expression of the tongue or the use of the tongue. The third commandment forbids the taking of God's name in vain. The ninth commandment forbids false witness against our neighbors, I just read. And that third commandment, I think I may have shared this before, but that taking the Lord's God's or God's name in vain, as a military man and spending time in the military, I heard it a lot. I didn't like it. It was frustrating. And sometimes you can say something, and after a while, people would recommend or honor that, and they'd be careful. But I can remember being in my office. I was ready to get out of the military. I got it early out to go to Bible college. And the first sergeant and commander called me in, said, "Cook, I know you're getting ready to get out and go to Bible college. We're excited for you, but we'd like to give you a little bit of lighter duty as you make preparations. Would you mind going down and helping the supply room? And don't worry about formations. The rest of your time there, just show up to work. Make your coffee, help them out, and then when your time is up, you'll start your out processing." I thought that was a no-brainer, easy task to do, so I went down to the supply room. But what I didn't realize is most of the foul-mouthed people came in and out of that supply room, taking the Lord's name in vain. So I got me a little 3x5 card, and I wrote out that verse. Put it under the plexiglass, and everyone that came in, they had to pick up something, sign out, or return something. They had to sign a document. And I would always put it right next to that 3x5 card underneath the plexiglass, and I'd say, "If you just sign your name right here by this 3x5 card, we'll be done." And I remember the first time the colonel came in, they had a few choice words, and then I just smiled and said, "I'll get back at him in just a moment." He turned his equipment in, got some other things to sign out. I laid it down. I said, "Sir, if you'll just sign your name there." He looked down, read it, looked back at me, looked down, read it, signed his name, and walked out and never said another word. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let the Bible speak for us. Let me try to demonstrate how many young people and even adults seem to think by twisting Scripture that reveals their action or even their words. They kind of get them mixed up. A lie is an abomination unto the Lord and a very present help in the time of trouble. Is that not how the world acts? Is that not? Some of y'all, thank you, Miss Marlene. Some of y'all a little slower. Let me read that again. A lie is an abomination to the Lord. That is Scripture. And a very present help in the time of need. But they don't go together. But yet the world acts that way, the way they talk, the way they present themselves, and the way they carry on. See, the problem with that viewpoint is the trouble is soon over, but the abomination goes on. And we hear it live. Even today, and I'm going to be careful, I don't want to use any names. Even today, someone came to me to share a frustration because of someone just has a hard time just blatantly lying and not being able to tell the truth. Folks, a Christian ought to be able to speak the truth. No matter how bad it makes you look, no matter how bad it may feel, the truth is worth it. Protect your reputation. Protect what's going on. Proverbs, turn there again. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, 22. I'll give you a moment to get these passages of Scripture tonight as we have time, as I won't be long with this before a short break and continuing on with our short business meeting. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips or abomination unto the Lord. Amen? And that's some of the things we teach and instruct our children coming up. Here of lately, even one of our little granddaughters, that little stinker, I was out in the hallway, in the garage doing some work. She come behind me and locked the door and giggled and ran off. I couldn't get back in. I was hooking that door. Jovi, let me in. Jovi, unlock that door. And I thought I was going to have to go around and go through the front door. And eventually she unlocked the door and ran. Graham's got a hold of her and said, okay, Jovi, did you lock the door? Now, it was funny, nothing wrong with it, but here's where the problem was. No. So she went back and forth a couple times and she didn't do it. And after a while, finally, she realized, she admitted, it's a lot easier telling the truth, because what did Graham's do? She said, sweetheart, you must tell the truth. Now go to Papa and tell him you're sorry. She came over to Papa and told me sorry. I hugged her neck and she smiled and pranced off. It's a lot better, but this act of pre-teaching the principle even with children. And they learn, but problem is some of us grow up to be better liars. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Have you not found out along the way, if you tell one lie, you usually got to tell another one to cover that one up? And before long, you find it much easier to do. And before long, again, his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. It keeps you from troubles. The very first sin committed in the garden of Eden, in the garden on earth, was a lie. If you think about it, Eve said unto Satan, "We shall not eat of the fruit of the tree, lest we die." And of course, Satan answered, "Thou shalt not die." You know why he made her correction? Because she already set herself up for a lie and for failure. The first lie here on earth, first sin, was a lie. That was the first sin ever committed, and it was the sin of lying. Right? You can keep your finger there in Proverbs. We'll be back in Psalms a little later, but jump over to John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8, 44. John 8, 44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You can guarantee when the devil comes whispering in your ear, it's nothing good and there's little to no truth in it, or just enough truth to make it appealing. Let's face it, for better or for worse, the power of the spoken word is immeasurable. You can do great harm, or you can be a great help and be a source of encouragement. Someone said, a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. Think about it a moment. A sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. You see, a good carpenter will say, measure twice, cut once. Concerning your tongue, is a good idea to keep your tongue between your teeth and think twice before you speak once. How often, as I mentioned before, has words come out of our mouth and we wished we could hit a mute button and grab it real quick? Be careful. Think before you speak. Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verse 3 and 4. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil things. Notice that again. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline my heart to any evil things. Incline not my heart to any evil things. Do we allow the Lord, do we take the time for the thought process to the Lord to help us to open and close, to keep our mouth closed when we need to bite our tongue? I know it hurts, but it's better to have a sore tip of your tongue than to have a sore or bitter, frustrated, or hurt brother or sister in Christ. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3, 10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Very easy. You love life, want to enjoy life, want to see good days, refrain your tongue. Be careful what you say. Guard what you say. And let me throw this in. Be careful what you stick around to listen to. Another good topic on the listening ear. Don't have to stand around. I had no problem in the military getting up and walking away when they used foul language. I had no problem with that. I just turn around and leave. No problem at all. We need to do that today outside of that as well. It doesn't have to even be foul language. It could be just the wrong conversation. It could be gossip. It could be rehearsing some things. Why not get up and walk away? The Bible tells us in James chapter 3 and verse number 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It affects the whole body. It affects everyone around us. When we are known to be untruthful and we develop a reputation for not speaking the truth, we've just ruined our testimony in telling anyone about the Savior at all. Anyone who has a problem with the truth and speaking the truth has much to overcome before God can use them in an effective way in ministry and telling others about Christ. Here in James, this passage warns us that our tongue can be a powerful weapon in the hand of Satan. He can use our tongues to accomplish his purpose in the body of Christ and in the lost world. So much time. You think about it. A lot of the problems within churches, a lot of problems within families, not all of them, but many of them come around to the tongue. Whether it be being dishonest, whether it be speaking out of turn, whether it be maybe saying things you have no business saying with. Even kids, if we don't correct them and stay on them and encourage them. Even today, I heard two sisters say how much they loved one another. And then with 3 minutes, they were complaining about something they said earlier in the day. Well, you said it first. And I had to remind them. Doesn't matter who said it first. Doesn't matter who said it last. You both said it. We need to be careful about the tongue and how we use it. Sadly, the devil gets a hold of our tongues. And as we live out our lives in our Christian homes and in our churches, he uses things if we're not careful. And I am grieved when I hear Christians engage in angry, heated arguments or indulging in their flesh with critical, harsh, and arrogant words or engage in lying and gossipy talk. Let's not talk about people. Let's talk about things and ideas. We don't have to rehearse and tell people and explain the background of why the way they are and what took place. Some things are just better left unsaid. Amen? A couple of the things I mentioned. Contentious tongues, as I started off with, have hindered the work of God hundreds of times over. You think about it in your life. One time or another, we've heard problems in churches, problems in families, problems in the community, problems in politics, leaks here, leaks there, contentious tongues. Then we have critical tongues that have closed church doors because of the backbiting, because of not being concerned about the good things, about being concerned about lifting others, people up and helping them up and encouraging them, and sometimes just simply not correcting them. Folks, let me encourage you. I don't want you to get mad at me, but if you attend church here, and you don't get your feathers ruffled at least once a quarter, I'm not doing my job. Or you're a lot better Christian than I think you are. Or that your spouse thinks you are. Or that your neighbor thinks you are. We're human. We're a body of flesh and blood. And we need to be reminded and challenged. Contentious tongues. Critical tongues. And then we have careless tongues. The careless tongues have broken the heart of health and health of many dear pastors and Christian workers and church members. Be careful. Don't be careless with your words. Don't be careless of how you talk to people or about people. In fact, can you really think of a need? When is a time when one Christian needs to be critical about another? Vocally. My question to you would be, please, before you vocalize being critical about something, make sure you prayed for them first. Make sure you prayed about it. Are there times where a pastor has to sit down with the staff and or deacons and talk about things sometimes in a negative light as they pray and how to work and handle things? Yes, but that's a whole different context and situation. I'm talking about just being critical or negative for the sake of being, you know what I know? Did you hear? Oftentimes, it's contentious. It's critical, and it can be very careless. Let's be careful. And let's make sure we're instructing and encouraging others, especially the little ones. How often do we forget? Listen, folks, let me say this. I'm going to move on. The church here, I've been here coming on 4 months. The church here went a season or longer, with little to no kids. We've gotten used to that. Be careful when little children start coming in that remember little ears hear. And they observe, and sometimes we forget they're there or realize what they hear. They're hearing, many of us, like me, have hearing aids. Some of those little kids, I think they can hear through walls. They can be in this room. You can be in the fellowship hall. They'll hear you. We need to be careful. Proverbs 18:21 sums it up by saying, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can greatly encourage or you can greatly tear down somebody. Words are unbelievably powerful in their impact upon human life. And what you say and how you say it will either build an individual up little by little or tear that individual down into a pile of rubble. What kind words does God want us to say to others? Again, sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it. I've given this example before. I can't remember if it's here or not. I could look at my wife and tell her, Michelle, you are just so beautiful today. When I look at you, time stands still. Or I can remind her and let her know that she has a face that would stop a clock. Now, one was very kind and the other one was a little ugly, but they were both the same thing. They were saying the same thing, time stands still, but one is much more complimentary. Now, she knows that I was using that as an example. I was kind. I didn't use another gentleman in the room tonight to do that. It's not what we say. Sometimes it's how we say it and how we present it. I'm getting older, and I have to guard myself and remind myself sometimes my tone is a little high. Sometimes my tone is a little hard. And sometimes it's my frustration because I'm not hearing well or my frustration because I'm not feeling well. But the bottom line is I'm the one saying it. So I need to be careful and I need to measure those things. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I mean, usually when someone pulls you aside and says, let me fill you in, you're probably better off to say, you know, I'm a little busy right now. Because not always what comes after that are good things. In fact, there are some things as your pastor, I don't want to know. It's a good thing that I live 20 miles up the road. Be around you hooligans all day during the week. But no, you know, you understand what I'm saying. It's some things you don't need to know. But you know, the Lord has a way of showing me things and me preaching on things that I didn't even know needed to be said just because I'm preparing and doing what God told me to do. The Holy Spirit will let me know what I need to preach. I don't need to sit down with every believer and say, fill me in. Don't need to, because it'll affect me. Because I am human, and I want to make sure I guard my mind, I guard my thoughts, that when I study and prepare, that I can go by what the Holy Spirit reveals to me, not what I hear from someone else. So please understand, it may be offensive to some, you may take some people off guard, but don't be afraid the next time that you feel like someone's going to gossip to say, you know, do I really need to know? Or is it really worth talking about? You know, I think if we spent more time talking about people to Jesus, we'd have a lot less problems with our tongue. Amen? We are to use building words, helpful words, and uplifting words. Think about that. The words in our speech and how we talk to people, are they building them up? Are they helpful and encouraging? Are they uplifting? Are they tearing down? Can we see the good to go along with the construction? Or is our tongue mostly used to beat down people? See, my words and your words are meant to deliver healing and sweetness if we allow it. We can make a huge difference by encouraging people and looking past maybe other things that people are not ready to look past. Speaking of those sweet words, Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Are we willing, again, to be that encouragement? So I'll close with what I started. Is your tongue a problem? Have you been able to lasso it and keep it under control? Do you have a contentious tongue, a critical tongue, a careless tongue, or is your tongue pleasant as honeycomb, sweet to the soul as you do your best to encourage and to uplift people? You ever met anybody that seems like they always see the glass full? Or they see it half full instead of half empty. They're always optimistic. They always find the good in everyone. Everyone. Our middle daughter, she's not here tonight, Kayla's that way. She sees the good in everyone. I don't think that I've ever heard her say anything critical about anyone unless she came to me and said, Dad, I'd like to talk to you about something. I really want to encourage. I have a friend. She would never mention their name. How can I help them? They're struggling with this. How can I help them? She was always uplifting. She uses that positive reinforcement with her girls, with her family, and when she talks to others. In fact, she's so sensitive that we talked about something today that was a little negative. She wasn't being critical. It was a little negative, and she's asking for prayer. And then no sooner than I left and got to the church, she texted me and said, Dad, please forgive me. I didn't mean to bring up something negative before you had to preach. Now, I encouraged her by letting her know, hey, sweetheart, when we talked, that was a good an hour and a half to 2 hours before I needed to preach. But folks, let me remind you, don't bring up things that may be a little bit negative to your preacher when church is getting ready to start, or even on a Sunday if it can wait, if it's not an emergency, or the children's workers or those who work in Sunday school, or even your deacons or even anyone. Why not enjoy this church service, and maybe the Holy Spirit just might take care of it during the invitation or during the service. There are times we may need to talk about things, but it's not always on a Sunday before church or on a Wednesday. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just take care of it if we allow him to do the work. And let's really strive. I'm excited, but I'm going to be honest with you as we close. There's too many things that are happening that are good. There's too many things going on and seeing some growth and some decisions made and having the discipleship, having one baptized this past month, talking to others about the same thing. The devil gets angry every time things begin to head in a different direction. When something is slow or moving backwards, begins to move forward, something that's crawling along but then picks up the pace and moving toward godly things and heavenly things, it doesn't make the devil very happy. And he's going to do what he can to cause disruption. And the best way he can do that within the church is using believers, because that's what we're mostly made up of. And just like anyone else, we're made of flesh and blood. So ask yourself, what is my battle that I have with my thought pattern, my thought life, my tongue, my behavior? Lord, help me to get it under control, yield it to you, ask you to show me how I can keep it under control, that I might be a blessing and encouragement to my church family, those that are around me. And Father, help me to keep those things into practice and be ready to walk away, be ready to say, excuse me, and just walk away when something's being said. In fact, the best way to stop a person from doing that, and I believe I've said this about 2 months ago, when somebody wants to talk about someone, say, hey, let's put a pin in, let's just go get them so they can be here with us. That's the best way. And I think that will stifle some things. All right, we'll stop here at 7:30. I'll have a word of prayer. Take a minute if you need to use the restroom. And then we'll come back and have a short meeting. This section, again, is like last week. Just need to read through it. If there's any questions, we'll move on. It's more the legal aspect of our Constitution. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the time together. Father, help us as we work. Lord, none of us are perfect. We all have problems, Lord, with not feeling well, responding, using the wrong tone. And Lord, even this week, I've had to remind myself, no matter how I feel, I need to be careful about my tone and how I speak. It's not what I say, but how I say it. Help us to guard our tongue. Help us to remind ourselves of how we use it and how we use our speech and how we encourage and love on others. And now, Father, bless this short intermission. Lord, as we come back together a little bit here in a few moments, Lord, may you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 7:32. Let's go ahead in 5 minutes. 7:32.